Acts chapter 2, back to the book of Acts. Back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's go ahead and start with verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They were pricked, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Oh, that message that Peter preached, Father, by your leadership and with your power. And Father, it brought forward the conviction of the heart. And there were 3,000 there that day that decided, that chose you, that turned from their ways and turned unto you and believed. Father, please, that those that event would take place today with your preaching of your word, that all will listen, and Father, that there'll be no one here today that does not know you as their Savior. They've come by faith. They've trusted in you. And please, dear Lord, that today that they will realize that your strength, and no matter what you go through, as we talked about with Joseph, if we start the 39th chapter of Genesis, no matter what's going on, we need to recognize that you are our Savior, you are our strength, and you will lift us up. And we look through some things that Father Joseph went through, and yet he kept his eye upon you, and you gave him strength. You gave him wisdom, and that's the only way, Father, we can get through each day. So please, guide and lead us now today through your precious word. Touch all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The words that Peter spoke after this question was asked him, what shall we do? That question was asked because he had preached the Word of God. He had tied in the study of Joel. He had tied in the David, the king. He had brought all that together, and those are all words that the Holy Spirit had directed him to preach, to speak. And it touched their heart, brought them to a place of conviction, a place of decision, and they trusted in the Lord Jesus, as we find in the in verses of this chapter, this section. We need to realize that Peter's words, when they ask, what shall we do? Peter didn't say, join my church. He didn't say, now come forward and be baptized and join the church, and then all will be well. He said, repent, repent, turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're going to follow in baptism, because that shows what's taken place in your heart. That was the words that he said. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. You know, back in the upper room, on this time when the Lord Jesus met with the 120, and they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They were immersed in the Spirit. They received the person. that's the saddest thing today with many of the teachings and many of the doctrines, because they believe that you just get a little bit of the Spirit of God, and you have to plead with God that He would send, you know, give you all of the Holy Spirit, be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can't divide a person. And they're a person of the Holy Spirit. The day that you're born again, the day you receive Jesus as your Savior, is the day that you receive the person. It is a gift given from God unto us, the person of the Holy Spirit, to come into our hearts, to guide us and to lead us. We are born again. And so these apostles, Peter included, received this power. And with this power, they received some gifts. They received some gifts of being able to communicate in other tongues, gifts of healing, gifts of, as we have just read concerning the poisonous snakes, anything. They were, God was going to secure them and show the world that we are giving the Word of God, and they gave them special powers. And those special powers to these apostles stayed in place until the Word of God was complete. And when the apostles finished their work, their ministry, those gifts were gone. They're not necessary. And because we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. So you see, when it tells us here that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you'll notice there is no mention here that they received a gift of speaking in another language, in tongues, as the Word tells us today, or in the hand of healing, be able to touch someone and they be healed. None of those things are listed here, because that's not what the purpose and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that's not what the Holy Spirit is about, is being able to speak in tongues or to touch someone and heal someone. God gives us power and strength, and we're going to talk about that today, that these 3,000 that were added here were not given that special gift. That was given to the apostles. And so we need to understand what has been given to us in the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it says, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we're going to spend some time today. The Holy Spirit abides in the heart of all true believers, whether or not he is allowed complete control of that believer's life. We receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next question is, are we going to surrender our life to the will of God? Because that's the next to come. He abides in us to give us power, to give us comfort, to show us the way that he has us to go, to bring to mind the things that we need to know spiritually, that's going to give us peace whenever we go and walk through this life each day. He leads us to the path of righteousness for Jesus' sake. He fills us if we will allow him to do so. We get all the Holy Spirit, but as far as control, that's the question. Are we allowing him to control us and to lead us? He seals us as well until the day of redemption. What a promise. The Holy Spirit has a very definite ministry in the heart and the life of a believer. But it begins back in John chapter 16, verse 8. I want to show you as far as the steps that are taking place. Let's go back to John chapter 16. Each of you that possess that have the Holy Spirit, because you have decided to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, this is what has taken place in your life prior to this, if you are truly a child of God. John chapter 16, verse 8. John 16:8. And even we can even read verse 7 there as well, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will come. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, we're going to take just a couple of minutes and look at this steps that are given here in the 8th verse. Reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then he explains it in the 9th, 10th, and 11th verse. Reprove means to convict. And, you know, as a judge or as an attorney would present evidence to bring a conviction. As that evidence is brought forward to bring a conviction, then that conviction leads to a decision. And then a decision is given. In the case of a believer in Jesus Christ, we must receive that conviction as the Spirit of God. This is prior to salvation. The Spirit of God convicts our heart, presents to us, and that's the reason that when the law was given, there was no question that we are guilty. Before the law, we were guilty. But when the law was brought forward by and given to Moses, then there was no question that the law condemns and the law kills because we can't keep it. People like to think they can keep it. They cannot keep it. There is so much evidence against us that we are convicted and we are declared guilty. At that point, the Spirit of God brings us to a place of decision. Will you come by faith to Jesus and believe in the cross of Calvary and be born again? Or will you reject it? So the ministry of the Holy Spirit here is to do just that, is to convict the heart. As the Scripture says, reprove. To convict the heart of sin because they believe not on me. That is, who is the, don't raise your hand up, I don't want to embarrass you, but who here is the worst sinner? All right, I'll go. The worst sinner is the unbeliever. The worst sinner is not the terrorists that we are fighting with. It's not some of the world leaders that have slaughtered millions of Jews and millions of people. It's the person that rejects Jesus Christ. They are the worst because they are guilty of sin, period. We rate sin. Some sin is worse than others. In God's eyes, sin is sin. If we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. We are guilty. And so we need to have that conviction. We use the words that you need to be lost before you can be saved. You need to be convicted, knowing that you're lost. Then the Holy Spirit brings us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a place of decision. The greatest sin, again, is unbelief. And not only then, as we look, still I hope you have your hand back in John 16, verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He promised us to send this Comforter. He promised us to send us the Holy Spirit. And please, please, that you recognize and acknowledge the great peace and joy that he gives us. Because when we try to do it on our own, we just desperately fail and we feel miserable as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you see, not only did our Lord Jesus Christ take away our sin, be also then gives us his righteousness. So, he convicts us. We're guilty. We've got a decision to make. Different than a judge, where a judge would stand there and pass sentence of so many years because of the crime. Instead of that, our Savior gives us a decision, and that choice is to believe in him because he has paid the price. Someone had to pay the price. Jesus did. We just need to come by faith to him. So not only is my sins subtracted or forgiven, but righteousness is added. And it's not my righteousness, it is his righteousness that is given. And then the last in verse 11 there of chapter 16 of John, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We have been judged. We have been declared guilty. We are lost sinners. We live in the world that has already been judged and found guilty. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. We have already, the world has been judged. We need to recognize that. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This world has been judged. We have been judged. We are guilty. So please don't think that you're going to go before the lawyer, before the judge, before the Lord Jesus, and plead your case, because you've got no case to plead. You have already been declared guilty. Guilty. It's not like the death penalty today, where they come back and they review it over and over and over again. And from the time they declare that you're on death row, it's 20 years before you're put to death. We have been judged. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, totally separated from God. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you see, the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we look at the threefold work of the Spirit here back in John, and now we come to today and to the walk that you and I have, because we have been convicted if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus. You have made that decision to trust in the Lord Jesus. You are a believer. So now what does the Spirit of God, what work does the Spirit of God do in your life? The Holy Spirit. Because you see, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they repented and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We, each believer, every believer, after they're born again, immediately receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit continues in the life of a believer to make us more like Jesus. And let's go back now to Galatians chapter 5, a scripture verse that I quote many, many times. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. When we are born again, we receive, as it says back here in Acts chapter 2, the gift of the Holy Ghost. We receive the person of the Holy Spirit. And at that time, the Holy Spirit then begins to do a work in our life. And as we continue day by day to surrender to his will, these precious qualities, these precious fruit that comes from a believer is directly driven by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us can possess these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about Joseph. What did Pharaoh see in Joseph? He saw the Lord. What did he see? He saw a power, a love, a joy, a peace, a long-suffering, a gentleness, a goodness, a faith, a meekness, a temperance that he'd never seen before. He saw qualities in Joseph that he had never witnessed before. And he began to trust him. He began to give him great responsibility. Because you see, as Joseph depended upon the Lord then led him and led him to a position. And we know, if you studied the Word of God, what does Egypt stand for? The world. It stands for the world. God put Joseph smack dab in the middle of the world and empowered him. Empowered him. And everything went very well for the nation of Israel after they came down into the land, until the scripture says Pharaoh no longer remembered Joseph. What an impact Joseph had. Why did he have such an impact? It's because he was driven by the Spirit. Now, Joseph was different than you and I, because Joseph just had the Spirit upon him. He did not have the power within him, because that does not come until Pentecost. We have a greater strength and a greater power and opportunity than what Joseph had, because it was just on Joseph, not all the time. The Spirit and the power would come and go, whereas now it has empowered every believer. And look at the life of a believer. And it doesn't say at the beginning there of that, in the introduction, it says Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effect. So there is no mention in that heading above verse 22 in my Bible that says that this is what's going to happen if everything goes well. It sure didn't with Joseph. You see, you sure miss a lot when you're not in Sunday school, don't you? You need to be in Sunday school. You need to hear the precious word, because it just continues to join in together, because the Spirit of God directed these men to write, and so there's the unity and that thread that goes through this precious word is so wonderful. Look at that and examine yourself, because if that is not you, then you are being you. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, no matter what is going on in your life, this is who you'll be. And what a joy to possess that love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's many times that we sure have to be long-suffering. There's times that we need to be kind and gentle. Goodness, faith, believing, meekness, temperance. Please, look at those. Think on those. That is who we're to be. So, back here in Acts, when he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, they go from being who they are to who Christ wants them to be. That's where it begins. And it's the same with each and every person when you're saved. The day you're born again, the work of the Holy Spirit begins. You have all of the Holy Spirit to do the work. But we're there fighting and battling and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. And no, I'm not going to be this way. And what you're missing is those wonderful characteristics of a Christian. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We've kind of used the words from time to time that says, boy, wouldn't you like to meet somebody like that? Well, so would the one that you're meeting, because we all need to be that person. So please, understand that when this was given, what that meant. It gave them for the first time to possess the righteousness of God. It gave them the first time to have their sins forgiven. It's given them the first time to have power over self and be able to have the victory and walk in such a manner. Who is this promise given? Verse 39, for the promise is unto you. He's talking right to the Israelites, right to the Jews. This promise is given to you. And then it goes on. It doesn't just stop with you. This promise is given to your children. And it doesn't just stop there. This promise is given to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. This precious Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we're not to beg to receive, because it's a gift given when we come by faith to Jesus. If you're born again, a believer, he already abides in your heart. You just need to surrender to him. The Holy Spirit, and don't confuse this with water baptism, but the Holy Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. It's not through the water baptism, it's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're baptized, immersed. He leads every believer, he seals every believer, and he is our comforter. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 11. And then we're going to go to Zechariah. And then we'll probably end with that. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit also, here in verse 26 of chapter 8 of Romans, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a promise. So even when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, he lifts it up properly for us. He knows our need. What a precious God that we serve and we have. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verses 1 through 5. Romans 11, 1 through 5. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Precious words. As we recognize that in the past there were many prophets killed, and Israel did the killing. He said, even then, I have continued, and the promise is given there of 7,000 men. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, you'll get that story that's there. And so what a wonderful promise is given. And what is happening, the nation of Israel has been set aside. And the question was come, are they finished? No, they're not finished. And back in 1 Kings, was felt all alone. And he said, no, there's 7,000 around. There's 7,000. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12, and then we'll close. Zechariah chapter 12. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, we're going to begin with the 9th verse. Zechariah 12:9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness of him as one that is in bitterness of the firstborn. And then it continues and talks about the mourning in Jerusalem, and it gives an example of when Josiah died and Jeremiah mourning, and he just wept and wept because Josiah was such a good king. They will recognize this takes place at the beginning of the tribulation. The rapture of the church will take place. The tribulation begins. That's when God's going to call his nation back. And so as we look at this, and then verse 11 says, in that day, that was statements that was made many times in this book, in that day, talking about something that's coming in the future. God will turn the hearts of Israel back to him, and they will recognize that they crucified the Messiah. This Messiah of now be over 2,000 years ago, and this would be 500 years before that. So 2,500 years ago, this promise was given. And there will be a time when they will be called back. And so you see, when it says here, and for the promise is unto you and to your children, even when the nation of Israel didn't exist, didn't come to be a nation, that promise was still there. And not only to them, but also to their children. And then to us that are afar off. The promise to those that are afar off is all lands, all colors, all peoples have the opportunity, not just the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel has been, God turned his back on them, and his back is still turned to them because they have rejected all the light that they received. So please, we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to call upon him. But as we look to the Word of God, Peter proclaims that for the promises unto you, to your children, talking about to Israel. But it did just stop there. It comes to all the world, and that's where we have the opportunity of salvation. And then it speaks of being called, and that word to be called, and we'll start there next week because we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, 13 through 17, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 30, because I want you to understand that just certain people aren't chosen, but it's the whosoever, whosoever. And so what an opportunity today to hear the Word of God, and I wanted to take you back to Zechariah and show you that there's going to be a day when all the nations are going to come against Israel, but God's hand's going to come. And if anyone questions that this is true, that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all they have to do is look at the nation of Israel. There is no reason that they're still in existence except for the hand of God. The only reason. And when all the nations come against them, and then the hand of God's going to be raised up in their side, on their side, in their favor, and he's going to destroy the enemy. What a great day that will be. And as we read back in Zechariah, there'll be weeping and mourning. And it says a part in the next few scriptures, speaks of a part. There's going to be such a mourning, such a sadness in their heart when they realize that all their families have died without Jesus because of their ignorance. We crucified him. We rejected him. And for 2,000 years, every Jew that was born and died without Jesus, unless they joined the church, come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sad time that's going to be, the awakening, the mourning. They're going to recognize they've crucified the Savior. We need to recognize that today, that my sin and your sin crucified the Lord Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in him today. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and speak your precious words and recognize that promise that's given by Peter, even though there's 3,000 souls added that day and many more were saved at this time, and yet the future of the nation of Israel ceased to exist in the year 70, just a few years beyond this. I'm sure that they questioned that promise, but that promise is there, and it's still there today, and we're watching that promise be fulfilled. Please, touch our hearts. Show us your precious word. Grow us in your spirit. We received the Holy Spirit. Let's depend upon the Holy Spirit. Let's let the Spirit have his will. Guide and lead us, Lord, please. We should desire that peace and joy. We look for it everywhere, except for in you and looking to you. Let's do that today. It's the only way it's going to work. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.